This week, the venerable Carl Castle, legendary newscaster and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me scorekeeper, died at age 84 from complications related to Alzheimer's.
Ladies and gentlemen, Carl Castle.
Brooks sat down with Carl back in 2014 on the occasion of his retirement to commemorate a distinguished and deeply baritone career.
Who is that kid? His name is Hunter Flattery, son of our senior communications strategist at WNYC, Vicki Elkins, who told me this story today. A few months ago on the drive back into Manhattan after a packed day full of errands and a visit to Grandma's, my husband heard a Grateful Dead song come on the radio and seized it for a father-son teaching moment. He turned up the radio, started jamming on his air guitar, looked at my son in the back seat and said, "Hunter, do you know who Jerry Garcia is? He's a legend. Do you know who he is?" And my son replied instantly, "No, but I know who Carl Castle is, so you can change the radio station back right now."
Good kid.
In an interview with Renee Montaigne, you said that when you were a really small kid, you knew you would be in radio. And you used to play with your grandmother's Victrola in Goldsboro, North Carolina.
I did. My mom was running me out in the yard so many times during the week. "Get out and play. Get away from that darn radio." It was one of those large furniture size radios. And it sat in the corner of the living room. But I would get behind that radio sometimes, and nobody could see me. And when somebody walked by, I would pretend I was on the radio reading a commercial or doing some news and once in a while singing.
You worked at a local radio station part-time when you were in high school. You were an actor in local theater. One of your high school teachers was a bit of a theater aficionado. Could you put up picture 3?
That's Andy Griffith down the right-hand corner, and that was me, the Indian, the bottom picture. He was a great teacher, believe me. He helped me a lot. And sometimes during the summer when we were doing the show, we'd take off a couple of days, and I'd get out on the highway and hitch a ride back to my hometown. And pretty soon here come a beat-up station wagon and a Griffith's car.
Wow, that's so Mayberry.
It is very Mayberry. He'd take me home and pick me up the next day back to the theater. He was a great guy. He really was. I miss him a lot.
How did you wind up at NPR? We're talking about 1975.
Yeah.
They hired all these kids, and I wondered what your first impression was.
I'm always impressed by the good points about people. And I learned a lot just by working with them, and I think they learned something from me, too.
Like how to dress?
Yeah. You know, they come dressed up kind of sloppily from time to time, and I had to, set a precedent. I'd start wearing a tie and a jacket, trying to bring some class to this place. And some of them jumped in and started doing the same thing.
You told me backstage that some of them needed help, particularly Bob Edwards.
Bob Edwards needed a lot of help.
So now let's transition to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which premiered in January of 1998. Mm-hmm. Doug Berman found you and placed you in an unexpectedly comedic role.
Yeah.
Why?
Because of a joke I told one day. I was asked, "What time do you get up in the morning?" I said, "I get up at 5 minutes after 1 o'clock." "Why don't you get up at 1? "Because I like to sleep late." So that's how I got on Wait, Wait.
Some 2,200 people have your voice on their answering machine.
Yeah, I know. So I know what the question is. I will not go beyond certain boundaries of good taste and keeping it clean.
But I read that you've been asked to put Rapper's Delight and What's New Pussycat on answering machines.
Yeah, I think I did record What's New Pussycat. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now, if you recorded this tonight while I'm doing it, you've got a classic.
Tell me about when Barack Obama was a guest on Wait, Wait.
Well, he was a senator back in those days. And Peter said, "Now, before you leave, Senator, we know that you have a big thing in mind to do in the very near future. Tell the American public tonight what it is so they can hear it here on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me." He hummed and hawed, and Peter just pounded away at him with, "Senator, please." And finally he said, "Okay, Peter, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I got to go home and do the dishes. Good night."
Let's play video cue two.
Carl, for 30 years on Morning Edition, yours was the voice America woke up to. You brought us the news of everything from presidential elections to the fall of the Berlin Wall. We trusted you to tell us what happened and why it mattered. And then for some reason you joined a show where Peter Siegel makes you read goofy limericks and imitate everybody from Britney Spears to Barack Obama. It turns out they all sound like Carl Castle. Anyway, we're glad you did. Over the years, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me has become an institution in my hometown of Chicago and across the country. And Carl, you've been its heart and soul. I will never forget my time on the show. A lot of people didn't know my name, but you guys were already making fun of it. So, Carl, congratulations on an incredible career and a well-deserved retirement. We will miss you, but it's good to know you won't be giving up everything. Who knows, maybe in a few years you'll get a call from another contestant, Barack from Chicago. And if I win, I'm glad you will still record my voicemail.
In August of 2010, you were inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame. It was in the closely watched category of National Active Radio Personality. And you beat out Howard Stern. Now, he claimed that he didn't really want to be inducted, but he was kind of snotty about it anyway.
Who's Carl Kasell?
He has been on national public radio.
What a career. He got himself all the way to National Public Radio? What a lucky duck. Wow. Give it to him. He's way more successful in this business than he's got to be. He's on NPR. Isn't that a national terrestrial thing?
My dear Mr. Stein, my understanding is that you're featured on a satellite information service available in some brands of cars on which you host a show about gynecology. While I'm sure this is a useful service for medical professionals, like all of us in radio, you aspire to something greater. Best of luck to you.
To talk about another honor, you were the voice of the Kennedy Center Awards, and you did it unseen from a booth.
Yeah, they give me a little studio and a storage room in the back of the stage. I have a TV monitor and a script about so thick. And then the night of the show, everybody has to come dressed. Because when the show is over, they turn the lobby into a giant restaurant. I get to meet some people I had never met before. Not too long ago, I was looking for Stephen Colbert. And I walked over to him and I said, "Stephen," he says, "Carl, I knew that was you introducing me."
It's funny you should mention him. I just so happen to have Stephen Colbert.
Stephen Colbert here, just saying what everyone else is thinking. All of us who loved you on NPR, all of us who listened for your voice every week on Wait, Wait, are so, so sad that you're gonna go. Send us some limericks or something. Very few things rhyme with Carl, by the way. I tried. The rhyming dictionary goes Carl, gnarl, and snarl. You were dealt a rough hand when it came to a first name, I gotta say, when it comes to rhyming. How ironic.
Ah, good old Stephen. He was such a good guy, he's a good friend.
I've met him one time. I was going to be on the show, and he came in while I was getting my makeup on, and he said what he apparently says to everybody before they go on the show, which is, "Just remember, I'm an idiot."
That's Stephen.
I have to tell you, though, you've gotten a Peabody, or probably 10 Peabodys, I don't know. But the award that I'm most envious of is this one.
Oh, yeah. The Simpsons.
It's so much fun to finally have a friend who likes the NPR show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me as much as I do.
So, Carl Castle, how did the House Minority Whip do on our news quiz?
Well, Peter, he got 2 out of 3 right. So, he wins me recording his outgoing message.
Oh, that's okay, really. No, no, no. Please don't.
It's not optional.
So, Carl, what's up next?
Well, I want to try to find a way to get back into the NPR building. People have brought up the word retirement for me, and it's not in my vocabulary. Dick Smothers told me one time, he says, you know, people retire from work. I never considered what I do as work. So nothing to retire from. I said, brother, you're talking about me too. So I do have an office at NPR. I show up every day. And I'll find something to do, and I'll be back on the air. Guarantee it.
Carl Everlasting, ladies and gentlemen, Carl Castle.
Carl Castle died this week. He will be missed.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.